Heavenly Father, we are gathered here in your name. We realize, Lord God, that we are people. That, Lord, sometimes we think of this, there's a way it's going to go, but it doesn't go like that, Lord. Today, Father, we're inviting you. We are requesting you kindly to come over and take charge, Lord. And take this pulpit, Father, and talk to our hearts, Father. Each one, Lord. Help me, Father, as I speak. I'm nervous, Lord God. It's not coming together very well, Lord. I don't know what to say exactly and what not to say, Father. Father, I depend on you entirely, Lord. I know, Father, you can do it because, Father, you've done it before. Father, speak to us. That's why we come. That you may speak to our hearts, Lord. Not that we come to hear somebody, Lord. We just come here to hear you and be brought closer to you, Father. We commit ourselves to you now, Father, in all things. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. You can get seated. I've tried to gather my quotes together here. I have so many quotes scattered all over. I didn't know what to bring and what not to bring. I have my sermon, but it's not coming together. I'm not, I don't know. And I don't know why this is like that, because I also tried to bring it on Sunday, and at the last minute, the Lord changed it to what I brought, and I felt it very good coming that way. The way I come, I felt good. I felt anointed. I felt led that way. It may not have been very deep or helpful, but that's the way I felt. And I had my sermon. I had the way I wanted to come. Today it was completely changed, and I tell you what, and don't laugh at me, because I've stayed the whole day at home trying to look at this, and then one of the things about it is so wide, it's very, very wide, it's very wide, and now you got to go to the end to understand the beginning and the middle and how things, and it's very, I would say it's very intricate, because the prophet says this, and he says this, and to bring it like that, to place each thing on its place, is quite something. And you got to understand the end. You cannot just bring something here on this. On this particular subject, you cannot bring this here, like from the beginning, without actually knowing what the head is. And I've heard people say different things about this, and it's not that I disagree with them, but I like going there and seeing exactly what they're saying, and if they're saying according to the prophet, or why is the prophet saying here this, and then somebody else is saying here this. So I like bringing all that together. And I don't want another sermon right now. I'm not looking for another sermon right now. I think Adon is ready to preach. And I even thought that he would preach today, but we talked and he said that I can take it. I was thinking about taking it, so when he told me, it was not very clear whether Adon is going to take it or it's me who's going to take it. And what I'm talking about are the trumpets. The trumpets. Maybe the quotes might not come out very well because I've not organized them very well. But I would like to say what I'm talking about. One, I would like to clear what the trumpets are. I want everybody to understand what the trumpets are. We have come thus far, and we found out that the trumpets were sounded, the seven trumpets were sounded by the seven messengers. That one is very clear. I hope that. They were sounded by the seven messengers. The first trumpet was sounded by the first messenger. The second trumpet was sounded by the second messenger. And until the last trumpet that was sounded by Brother Branham. Another thing I would like to say before we go maybe to the study and things like that. I'd like to say this, that there are no two sets of trumpets. Amen. It's only one set of trumpets.
Right.
Now, when the prophet talks about, because I've not put that quote here, as I'm saying, I've just organized those quotes there, so there might be a disorganized a bit. But I'll try to explain whatever I'm saying. Now, whenever the prophet says that I think that quote is there, that we had our trumpets, and our trumpets sounded to us as the messages come. But for the Jews, that is where the confusion comes. Because now we know the trumpets are, each messenger sounds a trumpet. And when he sounds the trumpet is when he's preaching. That preaching is a trumpet, is a trumpet. And every time a trumpet sounds, there's something else comes. There's a plague that comes after that. The vial and the plague, they follow. They all, the prophet said, we read those quotes, they all happen at the same time. So they're there, just there, they happen at the same time. The plague comes after the a seal opens in heaven. Then it comes to a messenger here on earth. The messenger takes it and he trumpets it. The preaching of the gospel by that messenger is the trumpet. That's the trumpet. The people refuse it. Some people refuse it. And they are given a plague. A plague falls on them. That's what happens. Now, the problem is, now up to that is very clear. It's when it comes to the Jews. This is when the confusion comes in. Because the Jews refused Christ. In the beginning there, they refused Christ. When they refused Christ, now they have had kind of plagues all along. So this which comes by the messenger as a trumpet, when it trumpets, they get a plague. We'll get that. To them it goes as like a plague. And something happens to them that hits them. And the purpose of hitting them is to take them back to Israel. Because God cannot save them until they are back in Israel. I hope you understand that. So that's what happened. So they have been scattered all over the world and things like that. And God has had actually to draw them. And the only thing that God uses are the messengers. God does not have nothing else. The only thing that he's going to use on them or anything else is the messengers. So when the messenger speaks, that is what God gives to the salvation of the earth. It's just like the seals. Let's see the seventh seal. When the seventh seal adds, when he comes here, that adds salvation for Jews and for everybody. Nobody else. There's no salvation for Jew and salvation for this after that. Whatever he saved, he saved until that. After that, there's no salvation for the Jew or this. So the only thing that, the way he saves people, and that is the confusion again. Because people think that there are people that are going to be sent to Israel and some other people sent here. God does not do that. God does not do that. He has one way. He sends a messenger, and that message is actually to save the world. That is what he has at that time to save the people. Outside of that, he doesn't know how to save nothing else. And those who believe it then, except for the Jews in the first few ages, those people who believe it, they are sealed and taken to the, that's why the Gentiles, they're taken to the sixth dimension. Now the rest of the people who die like the Jews, they are sealed but taken to, they're not sealed, but they're taken to the sixth dimension also. They are called the souls under the altar. They didn't hear that because they were blinded. They didn't hear the messenger. They didn't hear Paul because they were blinded. They didn't hear Irenaeus because they were blinded. They didn't hear Koruba, Martin, because they were blinded. And all the churches, they didn't hear them. I hope you understand that. So their trumpets, they didn't hear them. And because of not hearing them, the plague comes to them. But when they die, God takes them to the sixth dimension. I hope that is very clear. So to the Jews, it's different. A bit. It's just a bit. It looks a bit different. Because they are blind. Why? They are blinded. This is the reason. They are blinded. God had to blind them to take us. But at the end here, look here. But at the end here, now listen. This is the bit that is a bit, it seems a bit like a mystery. Now, at the end of it here, because each trumpet is each messenger. Is that right? You know, when you understand that, it's very easy. Each trumpet is each messenger. So at the last here, at the end here, after blinding the eyes, closing the eyes that they don't see this message. At the end here, he takes all those, listen, he takes all those who did not get into any other thing except that Old Testament book that they knew. They knew Moses, they knew the lamb, that they got to slaughter a lamb every so often, and all those feasts. They stayed on that. Those who stayed on that, they are taken to the sixth dimension. There's no other place to be taken. It is sixth dimension. Why? Because that is the only place where God can take good people. And they are good people. They are just blinded. That's why they didn't know it. God does not have a reason to take them to the fifth dimension. Because the only reason why they didn't see it, they could have seen it. The problem is, they could have seen it. They could have accepted Jesus Christ. And for the seven church ages, it is Jesus, a piece of Jesus Christ that has been given to the people. I hope you get that. Yes. Yes, Brother Michael. Palestine is a piece of Jesus that was given to them. Irenaeus came with a piece of Jesus and gave it to them. But they refused. The Jews refused. They don't know. They were still blind. At the end here, now listen very carefully. At the end here, it comes to the last trumpet. That's where the confusion is. Praise be to God. This trumpet, the last trumpet is called the great trumpet. That great trumpet brings all those trumpets, all those messages. Can you hear that? All those messages are brought here. And they are given to them by Moses and Elijah. And that Moses and Elijah is actually, according to the prophet, is Brother Branham. The seventh trumpet. The great trumpet. So this trumpet is so great that it has all the trumpets together. And this great trumpet, all these trumpets together, are given to the Jews. As we had the trumpets, and we loved Jesus, and we came with Jesus, and we loved Jesus, every messenger like that, until now, this seventh trumpet introduces the Gentile, us people, the Gentile bride. It introduces us, am I saying right? It introduces us to Christ. When he comes, now listen. This Christ who has come was atonement. What is atonement? Atonement is payment of sin. Is that right? So he died on the cross as atonement. Do you understand? He died on the cross as to pay the price. But they didn't know that. They didn't know that. They refused that. They were blinded. They didn't see that. And all that Christ that died on the cross that was given to the church ages, each church age is given, they refused him. They didn't know him. To begin with, the fullness of him when he came here, they didn't accept him. They don't know him. This peace that is given to Paul, they don't know him. Paul said, I'm turning around because you seem not to be wanting this. I'm turning around to the Gentiles where I'm sent. Amen. And every messenger has done that. I'm talking about another thing that is a bit confusing here. Is when you talk about Gentiles, Jews. We can see Jews getting saved like Paul, like Peter, like James. I don't know whether Apollos was a Jew, but Adronicus and Janus who went to Rome were Jews. We see them. God is not talking about that. God is saying that as for Jews, God deals with a Jew as a nation. So when he's talking about a Jew, he's talking about a nation. There are two groups of Jews that saved on this. Leave alone Peter, Adronicus, and those who are the bride. This group of Jews that are called 144. Those are not dead. They are alive. At the end here. All them around who are not dead in the church ages, they are called souls under the altar. They are Jews. Am I confusing you? Listen very carefully. They are Jews. 144 are Jews. At the end here. Who? Just 144 Jews. At the end here. They are alive. They are not dead. When Brother Branham is here, they arrive. When the message is here of introduction, the message of Brother Branham is one of the purposes of the message of Brother Branham is introduction. Listen, introduction. For the Gentiles, and as Moses and Elijah to the Jews. But from the same trumpet, seventh trumpet. So Moses and Elijah, Elias is actually the seventh trumpet. The seventh trumpet is Brother Branham. Introducing the Jews, listen, 144 to their atonement. This is the atonement that you refused. I'm gonna talk about a bit today about the feast. This was just to explain about the feast. But you're gonna find about the feast of atonement is not killing. Jesus was killed once there. Here, he's not killed again. The killing that they refused now comes here and is crying. Listen, it's not killing, but crying for what they did. They killed him. So they cry for the atonement. They're introduced to the atonement. Our atonement, that is not our atonement, but actually is Christ coming to the bride, taking the bride. So when Christ is taking the bride, listen, when Christ is taking the bride, the Jews, 144, recognize that. Recognize this bride, this Christ who is taking the bride is the one who we killed. They recognize that. And they start crying. The prophet, the Bible said that they started crying. Every tribe by together. Oh, we killed him. But he does not come. He's not coming to save them that time. He's coming to take the bride, to claim the bride. But he also takes the Jews. The 144 accept him. At the end here, listen very carefully. I'm going to give you, for those people maybe have not been foreign, I'm going to give you to if you want. At the end here, we have a church. Now, we have a church. You read the quote very well. We have a church. This church is the bride. Is the bride. The bride is on earth. That's right. The only people that God is dealing with now is the bride that he took when he came. When he came, he took a bride. It's not in the future. When he came, he took a bride. And that was the first thing he did. But the Jews were also introduced to him. So they saw him. But the Bible said that when he came the first time, there were very, very few people who recognized him. Who saw him, there were very, very few people. But this time when he came, one group of people that are going to recognize him is the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. He have been called from Pentecostalism, from the church ages. He have been called from that. And the prophet says, he's not only calling, he's calling to come out. Not only that, to get in. That is John. Praise God. That is what John did. Behold, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And the Bible said, all his disciples left him. He called them from that, from the Jewish traditions and things like that, to go to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Praise be to God. And some, of course, is some. The Bible does not say some, but some of his disciples, John's disciples, went away from him and went to John, to Jesus Christ. They were introduced that. And now he comes. Listen, it's the same. The prophet says it is a pattern, and it goes very well. Exactly what John did happens here again. But Abraham starts here as the one who is introducing. He introduces the bride to the bridegroom. The prophet says, he must be here on earth. Brother Branham must be here on earth. Maybe you don't have that quote. I can give it to you. This is the bridge. He must be here on earth when he comes here. And he's going to do exactly, the prophet says in that bridge, he's going to do exactly the way John did. He introduced the people at time to the atonement or to the sacrifice. Now he introduces, listen, and he must be here on earth because of this reason again. I don't know where I'm going there, but that's okay. Because of this reason. Because the word, and remember he's coming as the full word. The word, Sister Rebecca, which goes to who? Is it the prophet who goes to God? Or is it the God who comes to the prophet? Is God, which is the word, that goes to the prophet. So that prophet now can trumpet that. Do you see that? It's the same case here. So Jesus, now listen. So Jesus comes here. There must be a prophet for Jesus to come to. That's exactly right. So William and Branham must be here on earth. And the first thing that happens that people don't see, and that's the greatest confusion, he tabernacles him. He first comes to him. I wish we can preach that one time. He comes first to him and tabernacles him. So he's introducing him. When he said, I looked. He said, I looked. I waited. And I didn't want to do nothing until I was sure. I wanted to be sure. And when he was sure, he said, he's here. He's here. You might not see him, but he's here. Amen. And every member of the bride will see him. When that happens, also, the 144 recognizes that. So there will be two group of people that God is dealing with that are eating him. 144 and the bride. But there's another group that is dead, the Jews. He says, at the opening of the seventh seal, because that is the time that he is giving out the Holy Ghost, he also gives them. And it's called the robes. They are given robes. That is the Holy Ghost. Though they are dead. Remember, they are dead. They are in the sixth dimension, of course. The prophet says, they are not dead because they are speaking. They say, yeah, but they are dead in the bodies. I'm not saying the. You know, you don't die. A Christian don't die. A man of God don't die. You just change abode. You just move from here to that. In fact, the prophet says, the theophany is just so close here that you just step in. You just step there. We are up here crying, but he just steps over there and it's done. So they just stepped over there and then the sixth dimension. That is the souls at the altar. I hope you can now see where I'm going. Eh? Is that right? So those are the trumpets. Remember, but now when he says the seven trumpets. He's talking about the seven trumpets that are in Revelation. And we can go there one day. The prophet says exactly what they are, but he doesn't explain. The prophet does not explain the second trumpet, the third trumpet, and the fourth trumpet. He does not explain that. But he explains the first trumpet and sees exactly what it is. Maybe when we get time, we can go to that and compare exactly what happened there and what happened in Egypt when he was taking them out. And we exactly see it's just the same. And we also can go also to Matthew 24, and we see exactly it's just the same thing. I hope you can get that. But the first trumpet, and the second trumpet, and the third trumpet, and the fourth trumpet, those four trumpets are at the wormwood. Wormwood is about water, destruction. But at the fourth, he says, now the next one, That's the Bible. Those are the trumpets. Because every time a trumpet sounds, remember the pattern, brothers. It's very easy. If you follow this, it's very easy. Remember the pattern. A seal opens from heaven. It's very easy. A seal opens from heaven. What happens? When that seal opens from heaven, what happens here on earth? A messenger takes it. What happens next? A trumpet. He says, a trumpet declares war. Always a trumpet, whenever it is blown, declares war. He says, why? Because it is not that old ecclesiastical voice that this trumpet is going to blow or sound. It's not that old ecclesiastical. You know what that means? It's not that Jesus is good, God is good. It's not like that. No, God does not do those things. God cannot come from heaven and bring that message, great message here on earth just to say Jesus is good. Why? I know that. He doesn't need to come and tell me that. So when he comes, it's a new voice, completely a new voice. And because it's a new voice, it creates a war. Brings a war. And that war is like I give an example last time. That war is like this, Sister Abby. This voice like this. Like when Brother Branham came, I told you when he was being baptized, he refused to be baptized in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost. And another battle he started was when he was told to ordain women. He said, no, we have a revelation of this age. Nobody had that. It was in the Bible. They didn't exactly understand why it was like that. But he said, and they all had accepted. Brother Branham went to the greatest church that was here, the most spiritual. That was Baptist. Baptist was the most spiritual at that time. So that's where he went. And they did know that a woman is not supposed to be baptized. And he stood there. Ordained as a minister. He stood there and said, no, I'm not going to do that. He said, we are going to excommunicate you. He said, you don't need to excommunicate me. I'm already excommunicated better. I cannot take that. He stood. That was a wall. You see, kind of wall. There was a why? Because a trumpet has sounded. A trumpet of truth has come. A new thing that was not there. This is a new thing completely. And therefore, it's a war. A trumpet declares war. From there, those people, the next thing that happens, brother, listen to me. And sometimes, let me say this, because I don't know this. But look at this. Sometimes, it is not completed. It is not that we must complete until the messenger dies, so that some plagues, like influenza, that the prophet talks about the influenza that came to the people. Praise to God. Some believers are still on earth at that time, but it catches the non-believers who actually against this message, and they have refused it, and it catches that plague catches those people. These other people, their time comes to die, the believers, and they are sealed, and they're sealed in this dimension. Praise be to God. Now that's very simple. So the first three was about water, destruction of rivers. He says wormwood. If you read about wormwood, you hear wormwood. I'm here. Can I go? When Jesus Christ was being killed, it's a drama that the prophet gives. Can I go? He said, you know what I did in Noah's time? You know how I destroyed that thing? I can just go do it. I said, no, it's me who's gonna go. No, it is not Jesus when Jesus was being killed. It's when they put when they put the three sons in the furnace. You remember that when they put him, and he had a meeting. The prophet dramatizes that, and he says he had a meeting in heaven, and he was asking who is going to go home. He says, I'm here. You remember what I did? The prophet says, I can see him say, you remember what I did in Noah's time? I destroyed the whole world with water. What is that now? I'm going to splash water there and there will be nothing. There will be no fire in 1 minute. He said, no. And the next angel, I know you can do it. You've been very, very good age of wormwood. And you've been very obedient. You've done every assignment I've given you. And I remember how you did in Egypt. You went there, how you splashed water and it all became blood. I know you can do it, but... No. Can we hear from another one? Another one talks. You can do. He says, no. I'm here. I'll go myself. And the prophet says, he went to himself to the furnace. Amen. And when the king looked, he said, there were three people, and he called the people. He looked and said, we put three people there. What happened? I can see four people, and one of them is like the Son of God. The prophet says, he says, the Son of God. But another place, he says, like the Son of Man. Praise be to God. So it was wormwood. It was the destruction of water and things like that. And he says that is exactly with Egypt. The destruction of water becoming blood, and like that. But the fifth, if you go with the fifth, you find that there came darkness on earth. It cannot be called total or anything, because the total will come at the end here. At the end here, when he's saving the 144. But that was also a darkness in the church, in the first three church ages, like that. I think for the fourth one, like that. It was complete, it became total. It completely died. It was dead completely until it came up again in the fifth church age with Ruth. It had rotted, completely rotted. That was the end. That was the end of the rot. And now the start of springing up into the same. And it's come into the same again. And it was seen. So that is my idea. That's how I'm coming. So if the quotes don't come that way, don't worry about that. So, but today I thought I would bring the about the and I may not even bring all of them, but I really wanted to come to the Feast of the Trumpets, the feast. We have seven feasts, but each feast, I'd like you people to understand that the feasts that we had were like the church ages of the Old Testament. In fact, the prophet calls them the church ages. The seven feasts. The first feast, and it's over there. The first feast was the feast of the Passover. The feast of the Passover. You remember what happened? That was like Jesus Christ being killed. You remember? In the beginning of the 2000 years when he died, that the Passover was the killing of that lamb. The killing of that lamb. And the token was supposed to come to the people in the church ages. I hope you get that. Now, that was Passover. Now, the second one was the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. It starts with the Passover. That's when they slaughtered the lamb and they ate it. And the angel of death came around killing people who had not the token. That's exactly right. Now, theirs was a type. Ours is the new thing. The Jews was a type. Feast of the Unleavened Bread. The Feast of the Unleavened Bread, if you look, and you're going to read maybe, I'm not put there. They're going to eat that bread for 7 days. I'm going to read those quotes, but let me just explain before I do them. They're going to eat that bread 7 days. Unleavened bread. The prophet said, what is 7 days? So each feast, again, talks about the seven church ages. I hope you get that. Each feast talks about the seven church ages. Like the unleavened bread. The unleavened bread was to be eaten 7 days. What is that? Each age, I'm going to read a quote here. Each age had a portion of the bread. That bread was pure for that age. You say it's not full. That's okay. I agree with you. It wasn't full. But it was sufficient for that age. God looked in heaven and looked for a seal. And he opened that seal for that age that was sufficient for that age. And he sent it. That bread, that piece of bread that they sent to the people must not be leavened. There must be no leaven in it. Must be given just like that. So Paul was saying, not even if an angel comes from heaven or anybody comes and says anything else except this that I've got from the altar and dropped into the edge on the edge of age. That's why he says, you Jews have proved that you don't want this. The Lord has sent me to the Gentiles. I have it for the Gentiles. I have a seal from heaven and it's open. I'm taking the Jews. This should not be leavened. Nobody should put nothing else to it. You say it was just a portion, yes. They were seeing darkly in a glass. But it was enough for that. And whoever believed it was sealed. What do we see a seal means? A seal means finished work. You are mine. Ownership means ownership. Sealed until the day of redemption. What did we say? What did we see the day of redemption was? We read it. The day when Jesus comes. You are sealed. You are finished work. How can you be finished? How can you be finished? And it's just a portion of the word. For that, let's say you are a tassel. What is it? What do you call stock? Is that stock? Praise God. If you're stock, you're full stock. For that age, you're good, you're mine. And I wanted you to be a stock. I ordained you to be a stock, and you're a stock. There's nothing else put in there. There's nothing, it's just stock, it's full stock. The rival stock is there. You're not. Praise God. I hope we can get that. There is a portion, no living, no nothing. Brothers, how about now? That's why. You know, I was talking to a brother today, And he said something, and I'm sorry, maybe if he's listening, forgive me. He said something. And I didn't want to, you know. I've gone to a place where people think when you ask a question, you're arguing. I don't want that. I tried. I didn't want to go to the group. I just sent something. I said, brother. Oh, and then he came by and said, no, brother, but you remember. It might mean that. Though this might mean that. No problem. But it doesn't say that. The prophet does not say that. This is the statement of the prophet. Don't change it. Not even. Don't, brother, just. That's why he said when he came to and I don't know what came on me on Sunday. And I didn't dwell on that a bit. The problem they had, they didn't consult the word. They didn't consult who the prophet of that age wanted. They didn't consult. They just did what David thought he would do. He just did it. Not, was it? The prophet said, it was good intentions. He had a good idea. He was serving God. But there's something that's left out. Did he consult the word? What did the word say about this? You have a revelation. That's good. That's okay. It should not be relevant. Don't put nothing to it. It's good enough for that age. You might know that, father, no problem. But for that age, it's enough. It's good to save those people for that age. Don't put nothing. No unleavened bread for 7 days. What are 7 days? Seven church ages. Seven messages. Seven trumpets that are trumpeted to the people. They are new. Listen, each message is a new message to that age. It's new. Don't put nothing to it. It's new. It's direct. It's a seal. But as I've been opened from heaven and it's given down here. It's pure. It's clean. It doesn't have. You don't need to put nothing to it. And it can protect it. Don't worry. You know, sometimes we think, brothers, that I'm going to support this word. You know, I'm doing this so that the people can. Brother, it cannot be defeated. You say it was not full, it was weak. Brother, it could not be defeated. It is save its own. Is that it has the power to do that. And nothing, no one of its own, of that portion of the world, is going to get lost. You say there was a very bad time of Irenaeus, Irenaeus, part of Irenaeus, and Coruba and Martin. You know, those people are so weak. You don't need to help them. Just, that was enough. And every time God sends enough word and enough life for the age that those saints are living in. You don't need to help it. Just study. Start with it. Just say it. Sometimes, and brother, don't say something here. Sometimes we think we can help. The prophet talks about what do you call that? That is what is that book called? What is that book called? It's called Battle Pains. He says you might think that you go like my wife has chicken. You want that, and I've seen that. Because she's so excited when the chicks are coming, she's so excited, and she goes to help and do this. I don't know. You see what you're gonna do? You're gonna kill him. You love him, and you want to even hold her. That's okay, but you're gonna kill him. You don't help him. You don't go to the. And you see, you think you have better hearts. You're stronger. You have intelligence. You have gone to school. You can just do that egg like that. But he knows better. He looks nothing, but he knows better. He's going to do this. Hit it until he comes out. You got to help him, you kill him. So is this message. Stay there. And this message, remember you're not carrying it. That's another thing, brothers. You're not carrying it. In every age, I don't care whether Paul was not carrying his. Paul was not carrying his message. The message was carrying him. God does not need any help. He has enough tools. Paul was one of his tools. But he can put him. You remember when he wanted to preach and he went to Phrygia, he went to this, and God said, no. You sent me to preach to the Gentiles, and these are Gentiles. And I went to Supreme, says no. And he also, why is not him? It's not, this is God's work. Just not even is that bread, no, nothing. You just hold it the way it is and leave it there. It is strong enough. It will take care of itself. So it's enough to take care of every one of us here. It can give you food. It can, this one, brother, is... Yes, sir. Sometimes we are afraid even of stepping, you know, stepping out there and saying, God, I'm here. But it is sufficient. So that was that. I don't know whether I'm going to read today, but that's okay. I'll just put those quotes there. And you can see I've not even outlined them or anything. They're just there. But you can read them. And I have some more of that. I have so many quotes that I didn't know what to put and what not to put. I just marked them and I just put them there a bit. So the sheep weaving. The sheep weaving was, in simple terms, sheep weaving. In simple terms, I'm going to read some quotes, but that's okay. In sheep weaving, in simple terms, in each age, listen, because people think that the sheep weaving is at the head here, and the prophet is going to say, at the bride coming, there's a sheep that is matured and it's going to be waved upon the people. I agree. That's true. That's exactly the truth. Yeah, brother, don't didn't hear that. I saw his ear do this. All right. I said that at the bride coming of the Lord, I have a quote like that here. I made it. I don't know whether I'll come to that. At the bride coming, there's a sheaf that's going to be waved upon the people in the bride coming of Christ. Yeah. You see, and that's true. That's agree. But I want to say this. In each age, there was a sheaf that grew for that age and matured for that age. Mature. There's no maturity because we are not. They are all. Listen carefully now. Don't miss this. They were sealed. What's a seal? A seal means this is mine. That's one of the meaning. This is mine. Number two, it's finished work. And it's going to the destination. In other words, it's wrapped up with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good. It's good to go. But now I've not come to claim. So it's sealed until the day of redemption. It is sealed until I come. I hope you get that. But that sealing and that word for that age, there are some people, there are some sheaves. What was it? Let me explain it, what it was. In the garden. In the garden, we use some people farm. In fact, most of the Israelites were farmers, although some were herders like that. Now, when you grow your wheat, even maize, there's some wheat or maize that when you go to try, is ready. And the others are not ready yet. They're far away from being ready, but this is ready. Now, according to them, and there's timelines. This time is, but the first feast and the second feast, they had timelines. You are told this time. In fact, the dates are given there. That this date to this date, do this and for those weeks. But when it comes to the sheep weaving, it is you people. It's you people who gonna whenever you have the crop. You understand what I mean? Whenever you have the crop, whenever it's ready. Just gather the ones that will be ready. Bring them to the priest. Let's say Sunday is not Sabbath. Sunday is actually Saturday is a Sabbath. Let's say Sunday. Now you know it's ready now. But Sunday you come to church. Sunday when you come to church, don't bring it. But Monday, the following Monday, that's according to him. Monday, bring it. Go to the garden and gather all that is ready. A sheaf. You see a sheaf? Bring a sheaf to the priest. And the priest will take those sheaves and he will do this. He will shake them upon the people. You know what that means? That this sheep that has grown and matured, this, the way you've seen is matured. The rest of them will just mature like this. Amen. This is the first to be matured. But you do also mature just like them, the rest of them. So in each age, there was a mature, something that matured, that came of, like Paul. Paul was an adopted son of God. He was sealed. That's why he could say, grave, where is your power? He knew. Finally, he said, I've fought a good war. A great reward is waiting for me. I know. Praise be to God. Because he was a sheep that matured. Each age, and sometimes we think that, and I have a quote on that. Sometimes we think that because of the, you know, Irenaeus' age, and that was Irenaeus' age. Irenaeus' age, Martin's age, and Karuba's age. Those three ages were completely dark. There was nothing. It seems like there was nothing. But I have a quote. And this is the same thing that I thought, Brother Don. When I read history and I read the Bible, Eddie, you know what I think? What I thought? It doesn't seem like there was anybody worshiping God in terms of Nimrod. Seems blank, completely. There's a period of time until Abraham. There's nobody from Nimrod, Cush and Nimrod. And Nimrod, according to the history and according to the prophet, he made almost everybody worship idols. And according to the history, there's nobody worshiping God. They were worshiping idols. The whole world went into idolatry. But there's a quote that says that God always. Even Abraham was not born that time when these things are happening. It seems a period of time until he called Abraham. That's why Abraham being called to go to a God that they had known there's no God except the idols and come and follow him blindly. That was faith. That was faith. You don't know him, but your God is a God that you have thought, you've been told there's no God. Praise be to God. But there's always, even in those dark ages, the darkest ages, there was somebody somewhere. There was a seed of God somewhere. We might not even know them. There's one boy, there's one man in the in the Bible. I forget his name now. The prophet said that even history didn't know him, but the Bible put him there. I don't remember his name. In the times of persecution. My son, my man or my servant, so and so. It's written in the Bible when they were suffering, when they were killing them. The prophet says, when he comes to him, he says, the Bible knows, God knows him. The history does not know him at all, because maybe he was a nobody. But God remembered when the Bible was being written, when John went to the Patmos, he was given that name, and that name he wrote there. There's always some people of God that are studying. God has people to start for him always. Another thing about that. Don't worry about this. I'll preach sometimes, some other times. Do you know, the prophet talks about in the millennium, the devil will be put in prison. He says he'll be put in chains. And the prophet comes down here and says, you know what? You know what that is? He says, it's a chain of circumstances. The chain of circumstances. He says that while he's chained, he does not have anybody to use. And when the devil does not have anybody to use, he becomes non-effective. He cannot work. Yeah. And you see what? Even God has got to have a servant here on earth to use. God has got to do that. God has got to have somebody. That's why we are here. That God chose that he will use people. Even to display himself in this age that he has come, he's using me, he's using you to manifest him here on earth. So God always has some people. That's she weeping. All right, now. And I'm gonna read some. Maybe I don't know. Now already I'm gone. But let me just explain, and then if I read too quick, that's okay. Okay. Now, Pentecost, the prophet says that there were 49 Sabbaths. There were 49 Sabbaths, and they were told, "You start here, and you go every Sabbath. It's every Sabbath." And he says, seven times seven is what? I mean, knows mathematics. Seven times seven is 49. Now, the following day, that would be 50th, is called a jubilee. And in Israel, they used to blow a trumpet. They used to blow a trumpet in the 50th day. And that trumpet was for freedom. And that's why the Bible said that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a jubilee. There came a something to set people free. How are they set free? Do you remember? You know, they were told to go up in the upper house. Do you remember those people? The 120 that was in the upper house. And they were in the upper, do you know, they were actually afraid. They were even... But when that freedom came, they went out and talked like the freedom came. They were unchained. Now they could go. Yeah. And they accepted the unchaining. And they come when the day of Pentecost was fully come. And in the Old Testament, when that trumpet came, whenever that trumpet came, you are a slave. All the slaves were all over. But a priest would go around, and everybody would go around bring a trumpet. Whoever hears that trumpet, come out. Yeah. And you never be a slave again. It doesn't matter how much money you owed that money, it doesn't matter. You're now not a slave. But now listen. There are people who are, the prophet calls them, they are in the other side of the wall. Or they are all in the walled cities. You go there, there's no way to come out. They have actually closed their ears not to hear that trumpet. They'll never hear again, and it's done, you never hear again. You'll be a slave all your life. Okay. So again, Pentecost, the 7 weeks, the seven Sundays, the seven Sabbaths, is the seven church ages. There are seven church ages. That's what I'm saying. Each one of these is seven church ages. The prophet says, all of them are seven church ages. Pentecost, unleavened bread, waving of sheaf, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, tabernacles. All those are seven churches. That's the first church, second church, like there are seven churches. They represent, the seven feasts represents the seven churches. But each one of them also represents seven churches, except one now, or two. I'm gonna explain that a bit. Feast of the Trumpets. We come to the Feast of the Trumpets. Remember, this is a feast of the trumpets. Can you see one of the things that I really wanted to bring this, Brother Don, is to show you that, can you see that, because I'm on trumpets, I'm not on those feasts myself, but I'm on trumpets. But look, those trumpets follow the Pentecost. Can you see that? After Pentecost, the next feast was the Feast of the Trumpets. I hope you see that, it's there. The Pentecost feast, the next was the Feast of the Pentecost, Feast of Trumpets. What was it? They were actually commemorating the seventh Sabbath, the seven church ages, the seven trumpets that has been blown by every Sabbath. Now they are commemorating that. It's commemorating. It's remembering the trumpets. And this is, remember, this is a feast. This is not the trumpets. When you hear the prophet says that all the trumpets sounded under the sixth seal, he's not talking about the trumpets in the Old Testament. No, he's talking about the trumpets of Revelation 8 to 9. There's those trumpets there. And actually, when those trumpets sounded, the plagues come. And those plagues, actually, they were driving those children of Israel back to Israel. That's what was happening. That's what the prophet says. Now, but this is the feast. Eating those trumpets again. Those trumpets were brought to them again. And when they were brought to them, that was Brother Branham. And I explained that. I think you remember how I explained it. And the prophet explains it very well. The prophet says that the seventh angel did not have a message of his own. He didn't have a message of his own. So he went and took that of Paul, that of that, that of that, that of that, that of that, and come here and bring them here. So what Paul preached was a trumpet. He took that trumpet and took that trumpet. And those trumpets now is a feast. They feast on them. And that, listen, and that, as it introduces us to Christ, because Christ has come and points us to Christ, behold the bridegroom that takes the bride, it also introduces them, their atonement. And that is the next thing, their atonement. Now, we don't have an atonement. We accepted our atonement. And if you see, there was the feast of the Passover fast. So now here, the trumpets are introducing what the lamp they refused at the Passover. The lamp of God that taken away the sins of all, they refused that. Now here they come, and this feast of the trumpets is introducing that. This is, do you see him? Do you see him now taking Athanas, the bride, the Gentile bride, because he refused him? Now that is him. And they cry. This atonement is not, he says, it's not killing. It's not killing again. It's not killing Jesus Christ again. You know, it's not killing Jesus Christ again. Though he's refused by the Gentiles and so forth, but it's not killing him again. It's not the killing that they will see. They will see that killing that they did over there, and it's a crying. It's a crying. This atonement is crying. That's why I'm saying this crying is not for us. We are not crying. We are so happy that it's come. We've been waiting for you all this years, all this 7 churches, and you are here now. We are here. We are here. And praise God. And we are excited. But for them, they are crying because they refused him. This is the one that we killed. And the prophet says they will gather together in groups. In groups of the tribes, and they'll start crying. The house of David, the house of this, the house of, and they'll follow him crying. What did we do? And he tells them, don't worry, it was a purpose. It was to save lives. And he says, do you remember what he did? Because he's a Joseph. Remember, he's a Joseph. After Joseph marrying Athanas, Athanas is the wife of Joseph in Egypt. After marrying him and staying with him, they come with her. They come. And when they come, when they realize who this was, this is the one that we put in a hole. That's killing him. That's the one that we punished so much. That he's here now. Praise God. When they realize that, they started. Now he's going to kill us. You see what we did? Now he's going to kill us. And Reuben would tell them, I told you. You know the Bible says that it's Reuben who saved him. Reuben had an idea, and that although Reuben had a lot of, I don't know what I'm saying, but it's not important, but although Reuben has a very bad image in the Bible about getting his father's wife, although he has that, this is a good thing that in the Bible makes him look good even in the eyes of the father and even in the eyes of Joseph, because he said that he was planning, according to the Bible, he was planning. They put him, and when the brothers are now seeing, he's going to go there and snatch him and hide him. But that didn't happen, because the merchants come, and they sold Joseph. And now they're here, and Reuben is telling, I told you, this was not a very good idea. Now you see, now we are in for it. You see, we didn't know. He said, I know what you're saying. Don't worry. God had a purpose for this. God wanted to save lives. Exactly right. And even the same thing he tells this 144. Don't worry. Don't cry. There's no need. God, this is what God wanted to save lives. And this is the wife that God wanted me to have. And all his life from the Garden of Eden, this is what he's been looking for. He's been looking for this wife. So that God had a plan. This was the plan of God. My brothers, don't worry. This was the plan of God to save lives. If I didn't come here, all the world would have died. And all the world would have died. Praise be to God. If Jesus Christ didn't come and save the world here on earth. So don't worry. Praise be to God. That's the feast of the trumpets. The feast of the trumpets is those trumpets being, let me say this in this crude language, being eaten here. Praise God. The feast of the trumpets being eaten here. And remember, we are also eating those. Now remember, I don't know why I was like this, and I'm feeling like a moral, but that's okay. That's okay. I don't know why, brother, but I'm feeling like a moral. I wanted to be in one line like that, and I wanted that, but whatever. These trumpets, we are also eating those trumpets. We are also eating the feast of the trumpets. We are eating the feast of the trumpets by Revelation 10:7. And in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, as he reveals all the mysteries that are written by the prophets, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, it's all brought here. And that introduces us. Will I fight faith when I come back? Jesus asked that question. Will I fight faith when I come back? Because there will be a falling away first. That's the Bible. There will be a falling away first. But if I fight faith, yes. I'll send my angel. And that angel will bring that faith back that was lost in the first church is there. And it will come back here. And I'll find it. The introducer, William Marion Branham. And don't be scared. We are called Branhamites. Nico Branham. In fact, I was thinking of putting in the car, in my truck. I was thinking of putting at the front there. You know, you don't have a number plate at the front. I thought of putting there a Branhamite. I'm a Branhamite. If you want to call me anything that you, I'm not ashamed. I'm a Branhamite. You know, praise to God. You say he was a cult. You call me anything you want. I'm not able even to be like him. I want to be like him so much. The way I look at his life, I'm not one eighth of what he was, and I desire that so much. So calling me that name, you know, remember there's a woman in Kenya who calls me Abraham. He's a denomination lady that wants me to hurt. I said, oh yes, I'm here. He calls me a Branham man or something like that. He wants me to. It doesn't pain me. It doesn't. I'm happy. I'm not here by ignorance. I'm not hiding. I'm here. I'm here. I want it. It's not. I'm not hiding. I'm. All right. And I love this. I love him. Branham has come here. I'll be the first. I will run there. I'll be there. I'm a Branhamite. All right. Okay, where are we? Where are we now? That was the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of the Trumpets was taking us back. It was a restoration. It was a restoration. It was introduction. 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 It was introduction. To us also. It was introducing us to Christ. It was calling out us out of the church ages. And another question that the prophet asks, you might ask me, I'm calling you out. Where am I taking you? He says, to Christ, to take your possession, to be in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, to become one with you. I'm telling you to get out of the church ages, to cross over. And this is it. All right. Feast of Trumpets. Now, Feast of Atonement. I've said Feast of Atonement. Atonement was the Feast of the Trumpets. Looks like it was not ours because they were feasting as introduction, but it also concerned us. But the Feast of Atonement, we were not crying. Atonement. We accepted the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We accepted that death and okay, like that. Okay. Now, finally, the Feast of the Tabernacles. I know I've not read those quotes, but the Feast of the Tabernacles. Now, the Feast of the Tabernacles, the prophet says, this is a type of millennium. This is a type of millennium. But it's also a type of eternity. He says, maybe I can read that. Do I have that in those quotes? I don't. I think I don't. I think I didn't put it. But that's okay. Maybe I can read just a quote here or two. I don't know which one to read and which one to. Let me read. Okay. In the Pentecost, under the Pentecost, let me read that. Now, we noticed last Sunday there was a preaching, the Feast of the Feast Days. And there was a Feast of the Pentecost. And between the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of Trumpets, between the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of Trumpets, that was a long period of time. He said that was a very long period of time. Exactly 50 days. He said exactly 50 days. Between Pentecost and the Feast of the Trumpets. In 50 days, which Pentecostal means 50, it was the sheep weaving. It was the sheep weaving. The first fruits of the harvest was brought in. And we see it was in time back there with the natural first fruits, representing the first fruits of the Holy Spirit to be poured out upon the people. Now, Feast of Trumpets. Now, this calling of the Feast of the Trumpets, that is Feast of the Trumpets, paragraph 144. I'll just put one quote there. Now, this calling of the Feast of the Trumpets, the approaching of something, the purpose of the trumpet was, actually the purpose of the trumpet was to call people. Now you're going to tell me, was he calling people? Yes. Every age, that trumpet was calling people to get away from what was wrong to come to Christ. Of that age is a gathering. They were told to gather in Christ in every age by every trumpet. So, but the trumpet must give a certain sound. The sound of the trumpet will tell you what it is. You might gather for war. You might gather for peace. You might gather for a party or whatever it is. You must gather for eating or something like that. But you, the purpose of the trumpet is to call you, is to come. Right now, we notice the first trumpet, there was scattered hail, blood, fire upon the earth. And just exactly with Exodus, when God was calling his people out of the Exodus. If you look at this trumpet in the first, that's what I said, in Revelation 8 to 9, that is exactly what it was doing. What was happening there was exactly like it was happening in Egypt when he was calling his people out of Egypt. He was calling his people out of Egypt, and it was exactly happening like that. What was it? He was drawing. He was drawing his people called the Jews out. He was drawing people to go back to their nation Israel. Remember, why is God working so hard to drive people away from the countries? They're in Europe. They're happy there. Why is he doing that? And he made it very hard for them to stay there until they got to go back home. Because God deals with Israel as a nation. He wants to have a nation called Israel. And remember, even in heaven, when all is done, the prophet says that the bride will be in the palace with the bridegroom as one. A man and a wife. And the 144, the nation Israel, will be a servant. He says, they are my servants. They will not be there with the bride. How about now? They are here, but they are not the bride. Remember, they are here. They are. Okay, now we talk about the rapture. Let me mention that, because I think people have questioned that. We are raptured. Right now we are raptured. We are actually in the tabernacle, in the last feast called the tabernacle, because we are in the eternity. The bride is. The bride is in eternity. The prophet said, when you are in Christ, that is the farthest you can go as a member of the bride. Do you know that? Let us see here. It's only this body that is going to drop. You are in Christ. You've taken your position. You are eternal. You are eternity. You are in the eternity. The prophet says, you have everything. You have eternity. You have perfection. You have everything. You are one with him. What he is, you are. He is that rest. Millennium is a rest. He is that rest. This world is not, this body is not, is waiting for that. But you are in a rest. No sin, no nothing. No, nothing bothers you. You have the joy of, and he makes sure, you have the joy of your salvation. That's why I don't believe in this kind of a religion that people say they are always crying, grooming, like put it. That's not it. One time David cried, God, where is the joy of my salvation? When you are leader in Christ, you are there. You're seen. You're there. Not really, not like that. You'll be happy. You'll be there. Be there. And if there's anything, let me say something. If there's anything, God says, "I'm not the elder." You read in the church's book, in the book of Ephesians. He says, "He's not the elder of frustration." Even when you have some problem there. There was a quote that was sent the other day by somebody in the group that said that sometimes you might be in a squeeze, but he takes the pains. He's there. You're not because we are here on this earth, but in that pain he will come and take the pain away. You might go through something. He will come and comfort you. And sometimes we you know, another thing, God don't go away from us. Don't you never think? I have a quote on that. Well, God never goes away from us. We people get away from God. But remember, even that when that happens, a son of God, he's always calling. He's always calling, Adam, where thou art? Not you. When things happen like that, not you, it's him. And you hear, I'm seeking God, I'm looking for God, oh no, I'm feeling hungry for God. Nothing like that. It's God wanting you. That's why you're feeling that hunger for him. That's why you want him so much. It's because he wants you. And that, with that realization, run there. His hands are like this. His hands like this. Just come. He's waiting for you in his hands. Whatever it is, just come. By faith. Remember, you cannot even have something that God... Praise be to God. You know, that question was asked that to the prophet. The prophet said, What can I do? He said, you cannot ask that question unless you want him. He said, you know why you want him? He said, there's no fish with fins to swim in the water when there's no water. There was water first before a fish could have fins to swim. There was God first wanting, not only God wanting you. That's why you so much want him. Come on, go and he's waiting. His hearts are like this. Whatever it is, he's waiting for you. I don't know how I've come. I think I've come so bad, but that's okay. In this feast of the Pentecost, which is represented in Leviticus 23 and 24, is feast of mourning. He calls it a feast of mourning. That is the feast of atonement. The feast of atonement is not the killing of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a feast of mourning to Israel. This is our feast of accepting him when he comes to claim us. We don't cry. It's a feast of mourning to them, not to us. Why are they mourning? They refused the atonement. They refused Christ. No, I'm down there in atonement. I think I put some, they cannot be seen very well. I should have actually emboldened the numbers, the letters, but I didn't. I was just doing that there. Brother Michael came there and told him, I don't have nothing. My computer was empty. I mean, I didn't have nothing, brother. I didn't have no food there. I just put them there when I'm here. And I'm sorry, brothers. I'm sorry, sisters. You just forgive me. And I didn't know what to put and what not to put. And I want to be sincere. And the whole day, brother, I've been there. I've been sitting there, brother, looking at it. I would just crush my head. And I'm seeing it. It's this. And I would just get out and walk a bit and go back there like somebody who is not in his right mind. But I don't know what sometimes it is with me. I don't know. I actually don't know. And sometimes I would get frustrated. What do I do now? I've not even put them together. And I'm trying to put them together. I take a pen. Sometimes I take a pen and I want to write. This is the quote that I'm going to put. Paragraph so. I put so many there and I said, I'm not going to put nothing there because there's so many again. I don't know what to put. Then I'd say, I'm going to go here. And it has been very frustrating the whole day. And that was the same case also on Sunday. Until when I was walking out, I said, okay, this is it. And it came on and I said, okay. And I don't want to say this, but I feel like it's the Lord who wants it the way he wants, and I'm struggling because I want this other way. But that's okay. And brother, if I talk so much, you forgive me. You forgive me. Sometimes this is kind of a war, and I don't know how. I mean, a war with the Lord. I know the Lord is pushing me this way, and I want to go this way. And I don't know until I know, okay, what do I do now? But whenever he talks, I like it. I also get helped. Let me read this, and then you see. This Feast of Pentecost, which is presented in Leviticus, okay, I've read that, paragraph 252. The feast was killed. The atonement was killed, rather. The atonement was killed, Leviticus 16, is exactly parallel to it. Only in the place it's called Israel to mourn. It's calling Israel to mourn for their sins. They didn't accept it. It's calling them to mourn for their sins. Paragraph 252. Okay. Sins. How perfect it is today. It is not the killing of it. Remember, it's not the killing of the lamb. It's not the killing of the lamb of it. Which Moses symbolized by, look here, symbolized by striking the rock the second time. You know, you remember Moses hit the rock? It was not supposed to be hit. The prophet said in another book in the rock in the water or something, the prophet says that was sparing or saying that the word was not insufficient by hitting it again. It was just supposed to be hit once, and that blood was to cover every saint. Any other time, talk to the rock. He says, do you want water? Talk to the rock. Do you have a problem somewhere? Talk, not hit it. Talk to the rock. It died once for you. If it died once for you, what about these other small things? That's what Paul asked. If he did that great thing of dying for you, what about this other thing that you want this, want of this? It's so easy for him. Just talk to the rock. It will be there. Not hit it. Talk to the rock. It was hit once for you. And it was done. Okay, it didn't work. Not a killing of a feast, but a mourning of rejecting, mourning that they rejected, mourning of rejecting the atonement. Oh my, this will be the trumpet, the feast, the feast. Be rejected, then their Messiah made known. I'm going to read the red part there, and I will close there. Paragraph 63, the feast of the trumpet. No, recognizing your day and his message. I'm just going to read that. 63 and 64, I close now. Now, listen. I don't know whether to read in the 65, but let me read that and close now. I know time is running. They're in their homeland. They're in their homeland. That's Jews. That's Israel. They were scattered, blinded, and now gathered. It was all under the sixth seal. They are gathered under the sixth seal. They were gathered by the sixth seal or under the sixth seal. There are seven trumpets. Now, that's sounded to gather them together. It sounded to gather them together. The sixth trumpet, and next time I would like to talk sometimes about the sixth trumpet, where there are thousands and thousands, you know, held together. I'd like to talk about that a bit and connect it with seventh and the fifth trumpets. But this is for now. We just finished here. Sounded to gather them together. The sixth trumpet, the seventh is that great trumpet. Is that right? Is that right? Yeah. The great trumpet, as we had just last Sunday. The sixth trumpet sounded under the sixth seal, just like our sixth seal opened. Everything at the same time. Only theirs, it happened at the same time. Only their, you know, a seal opened and this trumpet sounded. Only theirs all sounded at once. Can you see that? They sounded at once. They were all brought, it's a feast. It's a feast of trumpets. They were all brought together. It sounded at the same time, theirs. Where we've been 2,000 years in the Pentecost feast. Now, 2,700 years since that time, he said, in the that day, we will be gathered again. After 2 days, in the that day, we will be gathered again and receive life in his sight. Do you see? Promise the hour, perfect road on the wall. We see where we are living now. I've taken a bit of time, but before that is the problem of not having a sermon. So, I've taken a bit of time. Let us pray. Father, I know that maybe I didn't expect to come like that. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to come, Lord. And you made me come the way I've come. If there be anything that is not you, Father, don't let it fall on that heart. I know that I'm a man, and sometimes, Lord, my nervousness and my weaknesses, Father, sometimes can take over, can take the better of me, Lord, and maybe say something that's not right. If that be the case, Lord, let it be known. And Father, take it away. Take it away. Let it be known that it's not you. We only want you. We don't want any living. We only want your word, Lord. If it's not said the way you said, we don't want it, Lord. We want your word and your word only. That is what has life, Lord. Every man's word is a lie, but yours is the truth. And that's what we want, Lord. Help us to be vigilant on that, Lord. Because we are your soldiers, Lord. And we got to stand still, Father, and see to the things are done in the right way by us, Father. And we are thankful for the opening of your word to us the way you've done. In all things, Lord, God, give glory and honor. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. I want to say something.
All right.
I know now we've been, he said, took a little extra time, but and I don't want to take more time, but I just got to say something. Because the Lord really blessed me. That was a great message, brother. That was a great message. And so when I prayed, before the service, you know, sometimes we just don't even know what we're saying. But I prayed because God brought it back to my mind when I was sitting there that if you can add another piece, and I was thinking a piece to the puzzle, Lord, if you add another piece tonight to help us. And Brother Goomden said something, and he mentioned this last, and I was if he didn't get to it, I was going to ask him to read it because paragraph 63. Brother Branham said that ours was revealing all the time over 2,000 years. He said, but theirs was all at once. And Brother Goomba mentioned that a couple weeks ago. No, maybe a week ago, I think it was. You mentioned it, but you didn't read it. So you read it tonight. And so that quote has, it's never come together for me till tonight. And now maybe you've always had it, maybe I just missed it somewhere, but it just, Brother Goomba said it tonight, and it just hit. And that is, because I always wondered, how could they get it all at once, and we were getting it over 2,000 years? How could that happen?
Yeah.
And personally, we weren't getting it over 2,000, we got it all at one time too, we all got it right now. But the reason the bride was getting it over 2,000 years, because it was the body. It was the body of Christ that was getting it, and it all was coming together as he brought out. Now it's all come together now. But the reason the Jews got it all at once was because they were blinded.
Right.
That's just as simple and just as plain. And I thought, praise God. That I wondered about that quote. Brother, I've wondered about that quote for years and years and years. I've read it so many times. And I said, how is it that they got it all at one time and we got it over 2,000 years? Why did, if the seals was to us and the trumpets was to them, how is it, why weren't they getting it too? That's how. That's how. Perfectly, brother. Just perfectly on the word. And so that was just a real blessing. Those, Brother Brandon said the seals was to the Gentile and the trumpets was to the Jews. And those trumpets called them. The seals called us. When those seals opened up, those seven thunders let loose under the seventh seal. It called the bride. And when it called the bride, it called all of the bride. Whether you was recognizing it yet or not, just the same thing, that mystery that Brother Gomba was talking about, those trumpets, they called the Jews. And people, just like Brother Branham said, they're waiting for something to happen. And it happened because he called them. He called them, and he called them by the trumpets. And rather, that just was a great message. That was just a great message. That was so good. And I tell you, I got so many little notes here, I'd like to just preach some more. But that, I just wanted to say, I was blessed tonight, and I really appreciate it. And I, you know, when we talked yesterday, I was feeling a little bit guilty, like, Maybe I was being lazy and, still recovering from the weekend. And I was kind of feeling bad because I didn't, but Brother Goomba was happy that, I said, Brother, if you're not done, that's fine. But it was just God. It was just God. And so Brother Goomba said many good things tonight. But he said, God's always with the bride.
Right.
No matter what we're doing, even in our slackness, even in our short places, even when we're wrong, even no matter what is going on in your life, God doesn't leave his bride.
Amen.
He's going to get her through whatever she's going through. And we thank God for that. And so I'm going to stop. But so much I could say. But I'd just be saying what he already said. And so, but Brother Branham said that the bride is called. He started off saying that what she's called by. And then in a little while down the road, he started saying, the bride is called. It's done. It's finished. And that's the same thing he said when people are still looking for the Jews. The same thing, Brother Red tonight. The Jews are called by that sixth trumpet. The Jews are called by the trumpets. And so it all comes when he comes. When he comes, it's the seventh trumpet. It's the seventh seal. It's the seventh. It's the completion. It's all of it together. Amen. Let us stand together. Oh, my. We could just worship him right on. Amen. Let us pray once again. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much. And Lord, everything Brother Goomba was saying about struggling and not knowing which one to read and what to say, Lord, every minister knows exactly what he was going through, Lord. We fight the battle every time, Lord, but that just, it's shaking us off, Lord, so that you can have your way. And Lord, you blessed us so much tonight. Lord, we just thank you for the sweetness of the Spirit. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you for the revelation, Lord, that just laid right in our presence, Lord, and was fed to us. Lord, we worship you. We just give glory and honor, Lord, to you in all things. Bless our brother, Lord, abundantly, Lord, for this, how he yielded himself, Lord, that you could speak. And Lord, may you bless each one now. And as they go home, may you give them a good rest and a good day tomorrow. And Lord, may these things be upon their hearts. May they be meditating upon it and rejoicing in it as we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise be to God.